Let us hear God's word. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you now asking that you would fill us with the bread of heaven, that you would let the manna fall upon us, that your Holy Spirit would take what is preached and bring glory to Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you remember from last week's sermon, we looked at Joshua and Joshua's farewell speech, sermon, talk to the nation of Israel. And Joshua reminds Israel, do not forget the Lord. Do not forget to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Joshua is afraid that after he dies, that the nation of Israel is going to forget all the miraculous things that Jesus Christ had done for Israel. That they would forget the parting of the Red Sea. That they would forget the manna falling from heaven. That they would forget the spring of water coming up in the middle of the desert. Joshua was afraid that after he died and was gone, Israel would not remember the good things that the Lord had done for them. Well, not only is forgetting Israel's problem, but it's also our problem. If you look at and do a study of the book of Judges, you will see that the very thing that Joshua was fearful of came to pass. Because Judges talks about every man did what was right in his own eyes. And it is the same with us. We are like them. They are like us. Because is there anything more characteristic about our life than our tendency to forget? We forget people. We forget friends. We've all had the experience of thinking when certain people move away, oh, I'll never forget them. But what happens? We forget them. We think there will never be a moment that they are not out of our mind and out of our heart. Well, that only lasts for a moment, because we do not keep them in our mind and in our heart. Sometimes we say that time is a wonderful healer. Well, that's just another way of saying that we tend to forget. We make vows, we make promises. We say, henceforth, I'm going to lose weight. Or I'm going to save more money. But we don't do that, do we? We forget our vows, we forget our pledges. New Year's Eve resolutions, New Year's Day resolutions. Do we remember those or do we forget them? We forget them. This shows our priority, does it not? It shows how we put an importance into the here and now. Not what's been going on for years in our life, but here and now. We remember those things here and now. What have you done for me lately? That's the way we think, is it not? But not only that, but we always have a tendency to forget the things we should remember, and we remember the things that we should forget. When people hurt me, I should learn to forgive and forget. But our tendency is to do what? It is to remember that. Same person might have been kind to me and done something for me, a favor for me, and have shown love in many ways. I forget that. And I remember that one thing that they did against me. You know, we've all had children. We know how it is. Kids say, "Dad, can I do this?" And 100 times you will say, "Yes, you can." But then on the 101st time, when you say, "No, you can't do that," the response is what? "You never let me do anything." What's the problem there? Well, they forget. We forget the joys that are given to us, and we are constantly remembering the bad things that happen to us. And so, sin manifests itself in our willingness to forget the things that we should not forget. Well, what does all this have to do with our communion passage this morning? Well, the Lord's Supper is a reminder. Just like Joshua wanted to remind Israel, do not forget the Lord. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows that we have a tendency to forget what He has done for us. So He has established a sacrament whereby we will remember. We will remember what Christ has done for us. I mean, it is true that we should remember what Christ has done for us every day, every moment. But He knows that our tendency is to forget. And so He has established a sacrament whereby we are to remember what He has done. We are to observe this sacrament in remembrance of Him. And we need this. We need this because our tendency is to forget what Jesus has done for us. But it's not simply a historical remembrance. It's not simply remembering something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's that, but it's more than that. As we look on this table, we should mourn. We should mourn a mournful resemblance, because can we really look upon Christ crucified with dry eyes? What should we remember as we come to this table? We are to remember how we have crucified Jesus. We need to remember that it is our hands that have held the nails that pierced His hands. We need to remember that it is our sins that have pierced His side. We need to remember that even this day, as we have gotten up and prepared ourselves for the sacrament, even this day, on a holy day. We have sinned against Him, word, thought, and deed. It is our sins that were placed upon Him. Jesus says, this is my blood which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus bleeds because we rebelled. The prophet Isaiah says, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The righteous was killed by the unrighteous. Therefore, the unrighteous should mourn for what we have done. The prophet Zechariah says, They shall look on Him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for Him. As we come to this table, we need to mourn for our sins. We need to grieve for what we have done to Christ. It is His sufferings that are illustrated in this table. Let me just ask you, do you have a part in this table? Do you commune with Christ in this table? Well, yes, you do. But you need to remember that because you have a part in this table, therefore you are a witness against yourselves that you are sinful, because this table is only for sinful people. As we come to this table, we are to remember to mourn for our sins. But that's not all there is to it, because at the same time, as we mourn for our sins, this table is also to remind us to be joyful. Even though we killed Him, He loved us so much to submit to the pains of hell for us. The scriptures say He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon Him. You know, when it's your birthday or Christmas is coming, you look forward to that day because I'm going to get a gift. It's going to be my day. It's going to be my day. When we come to this table, we should rejoice because it is the table of the Lord, but it represents His suffering for us. God has appointed the Lord's table as a place to bring us peace, to revive us. When we look on our sins, we have reason to mourn. But when we look upon Christ crucified, we have reasons to rejoice. The psalmist says, But I trust in Your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in Your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for He has been good to me. Isaiah 61, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. When you come to this table, our hearts should leap for joy for what Christ has done for you and I. We are to rejoice in the Lord. And as Paul writes to the Philippians, I will say it again, rejoice in the Lord because He has been good to you. This is a table of communion with God, a place where we are reminded of the broken body of our Lord and Savior. But it is also a place where we are nurtured and nourished by the Holy Spirit, applying the grace of Christ to us. Therefore, let us endeavor to remember Christ Jesus. Remember the miraculous things that He has done in the past. Remember the miraculous things that he has done in your life. If you're a Christian, you're a miracle. Remember Prophet Ezekiel? Valley of the dry bones. God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, only you would know, Lord. Only you would know. And so God told him, preach to them. And as he preached to them, the ankle bone was connected to the leg bone. And the leg bone was connected to the hip bone. Right on up to the head bone. That is an illustration of what he has done for you, because you were dead in sin. You were dead in sin. But God, in his great mercy, made you alive in Christ. And as you come to this table, remember. Remember the Lord. Remember to love the Lord. Remember what he has done for you. That he has given you life. And on top of that, he supplies for you everything that you need. Remember him. Remember to love him. Let us go to him in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies unto us. We are great sinners, but where sin has abounded, your grace and mercy has abounded even more. O heavenly Father, impress upon us what Christ has done for us. And by your grace, let us remember the miraculous things you have done for us. All to the glory of Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. As we prepare for